Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and New York City's fabled water supply system dates back to 1677 when the city dug a well in front of the fort at Bowling Green. Today, a billion gallons of water are pumped daily from six upstate reservoirs to 9 million New Yorkers. The city's water is praised far and wide for its taste and purity, but changes to the upstate watershed, that is, more development in the towns around the reservoirs, is threatening the quality of our water. And the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency will decide this spring whether or not the city has to filter its water, an undertaking that would take many years, not to mention billions of dollars, and some say poses health risks of its own. Joining me now to discuss this is Eric Goldstein. He's senior attorney at the Natural Resources Defense Council, NRDC, where he is co-director of its urban program. Eric, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian.
For the uninitiated, explain a little bit about the New York City water system. Where does the city's drinking water actually come from?
New York City gets its water from 19 upstate reservoirs that are located as far as 125 miles north of the city. And through the vision of our forefathers, this system brings water over a billion gallons a day to New York City completely by gravity. And because the lands around the reservoir have historically been free from development, it's been a very high quality supply.
But we know with the value of real estate up there, and this is even increased after 9/11, so maybe 9/11 is even an indirect factor in this. People are scrambling to get first homes, second homes throughout that area. And so the decision, again, is in front of the EPA whether to order filtration plants for New York City water. They assessed it 10 years ago and decided that it wasn't necessary. Are there many cities that actually don't have to filter their water?
There are five major cities in the United States that don't have water filtration because of the historically high quality of their water: Portland, Seattle, San Francisco, Boston, and New York City. And New York has had one of the best municipal supplies in the nation, and our water regularly meets state and federal drinking water standards. But as you indicated, the system is at risk, and unless city and state officials act aggressively over the next 10 years, we could end up endangering this resource and having skyrocketing water rates in the city.
But before we wring our hands over whether we really need this or not, why wouldn't we want to filter our water? Isn't that just another layer of protection and one of the great public health advances of the 20th century?
Absolutely. Filtration, along with chlorination and vaccination, are one of the three significant public health advances of the 20th century. Simply because our water has historically been so high in quality, filtration has not been necessary. We have other ways of treating our water, including adding chlorine to it to kill disinfectants. The city is now building an ultraviolet treatment facility for city water. So there are other ways short of filtration. If we maintain high water quality around the reservoirs and in the reservoirs, we can avoid filtration, which is an enormous expense, $6 to $10 billion in capital costs alone.
How can the city avoid having to filter its water? Is it inevitable with creeping development around the reservoirs?
Well, the city and state already have 30% of the lands around the reservoirs protected, either through outright ownership or conservation easements. It's essential that that program continue and that aggressively over the next 10 years, city and state officials buy another 150,000 or so acres out of this 1 million acre watershed. If we could protect the critical lands and keep forests around our reservoirs upstate, we can avoid this enormous expense of filtration and still have a high quality supply.
But, you know, we had this conversation 10 years ago, because 10 years ago, the Giuliani administration negotiated this grand bargain with the communities around the reservoirs to control the effects of development. And I think they bought some more land from the upstate communities at that time to stave off filtration. So did that agreement not work?
No, there have been very successful elements. There's a greater sense of partnership between New York City and Westchester County, which drink the water, and the upstate residents who help us provide it. And the city has acquired, thanks to efforts by the city DEP, about 75,000 acres. But it's a huge system. There are threatened developments like the casino projects in the Catskills, this giant Bel Air resort development. So the pace needs to intensify because the bulldozers are coming in.
This casino development for the Catskills that Governor Spitzer just approved, that has implications for New York City drinking water quality?
It does, because even though the casino itself would be located in Monticello, which is about 10 miles south of the city's watershed, there would be secondary growth and development. And if the casino is, in fact, attracting 6 million visitors a year, there will be all kinds of secondary impacts that could, particularly if there's more than one casino, transform the southern Catskills and endanger, over the long term, the city's reservoir areas.
We can take phone calls for Eric Goldstein, senior attorney at the Natural Resources Defense Council, on New York City's drinking water quality and what to do about it, whether to build this filtration plant or how to stave it off. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. So is the alternative to filtration basically having the city purchase more land up in the watershed? And if so, how much would that cost?
That's the single most important thing the city could do. There are other measures that obviously EPA will require the city to take, including updating and upgrading sewage treatment plants and controlling stormwater runoff. But if one thing needs to happen over the next 10 years, it's that the city would continue aggressively to purchase lands, to work with land trust organizations to acquire lands, to work with the farmers and acquire easements on the farm so that we can keep the farmers farming and keep the pollution out of the local waterways.
What about the people who live and do business in the watershed communities? You know they resent the city, and don't they have rights too?
They do have rights, and one thing about this land protection concept, which has been going successfully since 1997, it's a willing buyer, willing seller program. We need to recognize that the tens of thousands of folks who live in the watershed are our partners in protecting this water supply, but they too, they don't want to see suburbanization encroaching on their area. They're living there because they enjoy the Catskill Park, they enjoy the rural quality of their region. And we can work together to have smart growth in the area rather than growth that imperils the nation's largest municipal drinking water supply.
By the way, before we take some calls from listeners on this, I'm going to ask you the question that Congressman John Hall asked me to ask you. I don't think you heard this as you were getting settled in your chair. But he wants to know your level of concern about strontium 90 or tritium from Indian Point as it's getting into the Hudson River, admittedly at very low levels for the moment, with respect to any threat to drinking water, because some communities do get drinking water from the Hudson River, and it's even a backup supply for New York City, I believe, under certain circumstances.
Right. Fortunately, New York City does not take its water from the Hudson. There would have to be special approvals before it did so in a very severe drought. Obviously, it's of concern because these are contaminants that you certainly don't want in a water supply. We have not studied that issue, but it's an issue to be concerned about, and we applaud the congressman's efforts on that front.
Ann in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I just wanted to mention I have a house on a mountain in that area, and they are very aggressively trying to buy up the land. And when I mention to whoever calls me or mails me these urgent letters that I have a house on the land, then I'm removed from the list. Also, there's cattle up there. There's all kinds of stuff. And I think it should be far more pristine. I even question the sewage disposal, the individual ones, even that I'm not crazy
right
about.
Well, you know, there's an old cliche, kind of a knock on environmentalists, that the definition of an environmentalist is someone who's already got their house in the country. So, Ann, you live in the Bronx, but you have a house in the mountains, and you would like to see it remain more pristine. Sure, the people who live there full-time and make their livelihoods don't have the same interest as you. Eric.
Well, that's true, but increasingly folks who have done economic studies recognize that the single greatest capital asset that the watershed communities have is their high quality of natural resources. That's what will bring in tourists, and that's what will sustain their economy over time. So, again, it's having a sustainable economy in the watershed, which can be done without jeopardizing long-term water quality.
City Councilman Jim Gennaro from the Bronx is calling in on this. Councilman, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Happy to be here, but actually, I'm from Queens, although Bronx is a great borough.
Oh, you're okay. Forgive me.
That's quite all right.
So what's your role in this?
Well, my committee for the last 5 years since I've been chairman, and for the 12 years before that when I was the analyst for the Environmental Protection Committee as a staff member to the council, I've been working on this issue with Eric for the past 17 years. I want to thank Eric in a very special way for all of the all of the great work he has done on this. And from the government side, what I'm trying to do, what I've been trying to do every year, is make sure that the city's DEP dedicates the appropriate resources to making sure that we're buying up as much land as we possibly can as a hedge against pollution. And the city's DEP is going to be putting forward this year a $19 billion, with a B, $19 billion 10-year capital program. And it'll be my job and the council's job to make sure that adequate monies are, set aside for the purchase of land in the upstate watershed.
Now, Councilman, from your perspective, why not just set aside the money to build the filtration system?
Well, the problem with that, and I don't want to give too long of an answer, but right now to build that plant, it would cost between $8 and $10 billion to build. It would take between $500 million and $1 billion a year to operate it, and the debt service on that would be about $1 billion a year.
How much safer, if you think it would be safer for New York City residents, would it be?
Right now, city residents are safe, and the best way to keep them safe is by doing everything we can to protect the water supply, to keep it clean in perpetuity. That will be more of a guarantee, better protection against relying solely on an end of the pipe kind of filter, which ultimately can fail. And the money would be much, much better spent in
acquiring the land.
In acquiring the land.
Councilman, I'm going to leave it there. And Eric Goldstein from NRDC, here's an email that says the city's watershed agreement only allows purchases from willing sellers within the watershed, you said. What if people don't want to sell?
Well, we found that many people who may not want to sell are comfortable with conservation easements that allows them to continue to live on their property, but essentially they're selling to the city the development rights, and that accomplishes the purpose of preventing widespread paving over with driveways and parking lots and Walmarts, these critical watershed areas, and keeping them green. And so with the city DEP working with land trust organizations, we believe there's significant potential to protect the critical lands that need to be safeguarded.
Here's an email that asks, how about creating zones around the reservoirs for reservoir-friendly industries and development, a Catskill equivalent of ecotourism, perhaps? Surely there must be other businesses that would have a stake in preserving the character of the area and would have large footprints.
That's an excellent idea, and it's something that we have called upon the Spitzer administration to think about, coming up with a smart growth plan for the Catskills. His staff has indicated interest in that, and we look forward to working with our upstate partners and making that happen.
Here, by the way, is someone else with a home upstate, though lives in the city full-time. It says, I, too, have a country house in Gardner, New York, 27 years. The locals don't want development either. They've lived in these places all their lives. The development pressure comes from a small group of locals, farmers who own a large portion of the developed land, lawyers, construction companies, real estate agents. The latter three groups usually try to get elected to town governments.
Other than that comment about the lawyers, I agree with everything the listener says.
Tim in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. I'm sorry, it's Ed in Lake Carmel in Putnam County. You're on WNYC. Hi, Ed.
Good morning. How are you? I wanted to ask a question and just make a comment. It feeds right into the last comment. I live in Lake Carmel, and while we're not directly a reservoir, our land watershed feeds into the reservoirs, and Putnam County is a great percentage of the reservoirs. And the city is really kind of the 800-pound gorilla in the room when we're dealing with trying to limit growth and make smart growth a possibility. But I have found in fighting a huge development called Patterson Crossing, which is on one of the largest pieces of land available in Putnam County, which would directly affect our water quality in the lake and then feed into the watershed, that the lack of city pressure to force regional planning in these areas in terms of commercial development is really hurting the environmental...
Lack of city pressure to force regional planning, even though the city is the 800-pound gorilla in the room.
Say it again.
Eric, I'm going to have to get it from you because we have 20 seconds left.
The short answer is the city could do more, but it needs to be a cooperative effort with regional government. Look, it's a no-brainer that if we acquire lands and we plan sensibly, we could avoid these very expensive costs of filtration and still have a high-quality water supply. That's something that we need to do.
Is there a deadline, real quick? Is there a yes-no decision point by EPA on whether to require this expensive filtration?
That will come in May, and also the mayor's sustainability plan is a great place to get in comments on this issue.
Eric Goldstein, senior attorney with NRDC, the Environmental Group Natural Resources Defense Council, on New York City drinking water contamination. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.